My name is James Sagerton. This is the January 30th, 2024 meeting of the Pacifica National Finance Committee. We believe we have a quorum, so I'm going to ask the Secretary, R. Paul Martin, to take the roll. R. Paul?
Okay, I'm back. I guess you just started it. Okay. Please answer up when you hear your name. Teresa Allen. Lyndon Foley.
I'm here.
Kamau Harris. Julie Hewitt.
Here.
Christina Huggins.
Here.
Tim Kaufman.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. James McFadden.
Here.
James Sagerton.
Here.
Elizabeth Von Gunten.
Here.
Okay, that's eight. Have a quorum.
Thank you very much, R. Paul. Okay. We will now proceed to adopting the agenda. I will read the agenda for that purpose. Number one, convene meeting. Number two, roll call. Number three, adopt agenda. Number four, chair's announcements. That's a 2-minute item. Number five, minutes. That's a 5-minute item. Number six, set next meeting date. Number seven, review the end of year consolidated monthly statements for the 12 months ending September 30th, 2023. That's a 30-minute item. Number eight, report from the executive director with Q&A. That's a 20-minute item. And number nine, updates from the national office and WPFW on when the NFC may expect to receive their budgets. That's a 5-minute item. Number 10, adjourn no later than 10:15 p.m. Eastern time. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, is there any objection? Hearing none, the agenda is adopted. We'll now go to the chair's announcements. This is largely for the stream, but also for any committee members who didn't get the agenda. Tonight, we'll review the end-of-year consolidated monthly income statement for the 12 months ending September 30th, 2023. Also tonight, we will have a regular report from the executive director, Stephanie Wells. Please look at any documents posted by the NFC. Secretary R. Paul Martin on the NFC list. There are no other new announcements. That brings us to number five, minutes. R. Paul, I know we have some minutes.
We do indeed. Okay. I move that we approve the following NFC draft minutes. The minutes of December 12th, 2023, December 19th, 2023, January 2nd, 2024, January 9th, 2024, and January 23rd, 2024.
Thank you, R. Paul. Is there any discussion?
This is Kim.
Go ahead, Kim.
I'm going to vote no on these. I am not going to read through pages and pages of single-spaced, subjective paraphrasing of what went on in these meetings. It's too much to read, too much to remember from too long ago. Just skimming over one of them, I found a mistake. In recent history, it took me 3 meetings to make a correction. I'm not going through that. I'm just voting no. I didn't read them, and I'm voting no to approve.
Thank you, Kim. Any other discussion? So, since we have a no vote, I guess our poll will have to take a vote.
Okay. The motion is to approve all of those 5 sets of meeting minutes that I read. Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Teresa Allen. Lyndon Foley?
Yes.
Kamau Harris?
Yes.
Julie Hewitt?
Yes.
Christina Huggins?
Abstain.
Kim Kaufman?
No.
R. Paul Martin, yes. James McFadden?
Yes.
James Sagerton?
Yes.
Elizabeth Von Gunten?
Yes.
Okay, going back, is Teresa Allen here? No answer. Okay. The total is 7-4, 1 against, 1 abstention.
Thank you, Chair. I mean, thank you, R. Paul.
Can we? There's another few seconds here about the minutes. We have three sets of executive session minutes, which we've not approved yet. And do people want to just have a blanket motion to approve those, or do we want to leave those until there's another executive session? When who knows when that'll be? And you know. What to do then? I mean, one of these are all from 2023. The latest one is from August. The earliest one is from February of last year. So do people want to try and just say approve these or not? Because we can't discuss them if we make a motion to approve those. So what do people want to do?
Lyndon for the sack.
Go ahead, Lyndon.
I certainly can't approve something I've never seen.
Fair enough.
Right. I also will point out that I sent all these minutes, including the confidential ones, I sent them out this afternoon. So,
may I say that...
Actually, I sent them all out earlier, too, but yeah. Newer people will not have seen that previous mailing.
Yes, and it's not necessary, of course, it's not even necessarily desirable for people who did not attend a meeting to approve minutes for that meeting, but all anyone who wasn't present need do is not object, putting their faith in the other members of the body. But certainly it's perfectly acceptable and understandable for people to abstain from approving minutes that they haven't seen or they weren't present for the meeting of which those minutes are. Any other discussion? Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Yes, if there were a motion to approve these, I would vote to approve them. I don't know whether that would pass without the opportunity to discuss them or not. I guess we wouldn't know until we tried it. But if that didn't work, then I think that we should schedule a brief closed session either at the end of this meeting or at the next meeting for the explicit purpose of approving these minutes. It shouldn't be that big a deal to get these done.
I was going to suggest one of two things. We know that I think Robert Rules says if you have executive session matters that come up during a regular meeting, you can go into a momentary executive session and take care of an item. We have other rules, CPB and others, that want more notice than that. But I think we may have noticed a possible executive session or part of this meeting being an executive session. So I would suggest it possibly not to keep the public waiting for us to go into a brief executive session and come back out. We could possibly just... add an executive session, a brief executive session at the end of this meeting. Your thoughts are, Paul?
If you look up on kpftx.org, you'll see there is a notice of a possible executive session. Oh, wait, that's last meeting. No, we don't have one for this meeting.
Okay.
Sorry.
And I think it's your position that we should not schedule executive sessions when we haven't scheduled them 7 days in advance. Is that right?
Well, I'd like that, but other people, you know, we've had the argument and everybody else but me says, nah, we can do it when we please. So whatever people want to do.
I hear Beth starting to speak. Go ahead, Beth. And then Kim.
Kim.
I hear you, Kim, but I thought I heard Beth earlier.
But Beth has already spoken.
If not, go ahead, Kim.
We have gone over this many times. At the last time we went over this, I read from CPB that says you can go into closed session at any time. So if we want to go in at the end of this meeting, I suggest we do it because for the same reasons, I'm going to object.
Right.
I mean, I'm going to object to approving
it. To the minutes. Yes. Okay. Thank you for that, Kim.
I so move.
I heard you, Beth, but I did hear somebody else trying to speak at the same time. Who was that?
I'm sorry. This is Teresa.
Hi, Teresa.
I have dueling meetings with the KPFT Governance Committee, and I'm reporting in for roll call.
Gotcha.
Sorry.
Thank you for being here. Appreciated. So, Beth, did I hear you try to make a motion?
Yes, I move that we add a brief closed session to the end of this meeting for the express purpose of approving these closed session minutes.
Okay, let's give our fall a moment to get that down. And who was requesting the SAC? Okay, I don't hear anyone. Arpal, do you have that? You want another minute to get that?
Okay, what I have is the motion is to add a brief executive session at the end of this meeting for the purpose of approving the outstanding minutes. Outstanding executive session minutes.
Got it.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Beth. Thank you, Arpal. All right. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, is there any objection? Hearing none, we'll do that. Okay. Let's put a, well, we didn't put a time on it, but hopefully we'll get through the other business and be able to get to that. Okay. And I know, Arpal, it's a lot of work to do these minutes, and you'd like to get them approved as soon as possible.
Well, we need to get
that.
Them approved because, you know, we have the FCC and other things looking at us, and they don't like there to not be minutes of meetings.
Absolutely. And when we have more new members on the committee, there will be more people who weren't present at these meetings. So that will be another reason. Okay. So I think that takes care of the minutes for now. And then we go to item number 6, set next meeting date. Now, I am going to propose, because we have, we're into the second quarter of the year and we still have budgets that aren't approved and other business pending, that we schedule another meeting next week to try to get the business of this 2023 P&B Finance Committee as complete as possible in the time remaining, which is short.
Is that a motion, or are you asking for a motion?
That's a motion, and I'll ask for Arpal if he's got that, and then also ask for discussion.
The motion I have is to schedule a meeting for February 6th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern.
Correct. Is there any discussion?
Christina for the stack. And then Kim.
Christina, Kim, anyone else? Go ahead, Christina.
Yeah, I actually have a conflict for the 6th, and I would prefer to have the following week or another week, but I didn't expect to be meeting every single week on the National Finance Committee, and I don't think it's urgent enough that we have to be right next week. So I would prefer it not be on the 6th. I could do the 13th, 20th, or 27th, but I can't do the 6th, so I would object. Thank you.
Very good. And Kim?
Well, is there an actual purpose for next week's meeting?
Yes, as I stated, we have budgets that are unseen. We have the, we would like to also always have a report from the executive director. Yes, we have business.
May I respond? Have you lined up anyone for next week to present a budget, or will this be another, like we had a meeting set tonight, an extra meeting that was supposed to be to approve a budget, but apparently the management was not notified. So we're here on an extra meeting, not doing what you said was so urgent. So I'm reluctant to set another meeting unless for sure there is business to do.
That's the step.
If it turns out there is no business to do, we can always cancel.
No, no, that's
Kim,
not
Kim,
okay.
You're not recognized. Kim, you're not recognized yet. I heard another person asking for the stack. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Yes, I support having another meeting next week because we're behind on our work. We have work to do. We have to get it done. In order to turn this committee over to the next year's members in good shape, we should be as caught up as possible on all our work. I think the budgets that we haven't had yet, we haven't received yet, are now, we're a third of the way into fiscal year 2024, and there are budgets we haven't seen yet, or there are budgets we have seen, but we haven't had the opportunity to review yet. It's management's responsibility to prepare the budget and present it. And if they continue to proceed to spend down resources without submitting their budget to governance for approval, that's out of order. And so one way or another, KPFA it needs to provide whatever management they deem appropriate to present their budget to this committee next meeting, whether that's this coming week or the week after that. They've had more than enough time now to consider this. And so I support the need to move ahead with a meeting next week. If they had been more forthcoming with it, we wouldn't need to have extra meetings. Thank you.
I heard you, Lyndon. I heard someone else as well. I think Kim wanted to speak again as well. Kim, that was you?
I heard Christina.
And Christina. Lyndon, Christina, and Kim. Anyone else? Go ahead, Lyndon.
Yes, thank you. So which units have not had their budgets reviewed by the NFC, and what would the agenda, I mean, which units are, do you expect to be able to look at next week?
Is that a question for me?
I'd like both of those questions answered, please.
I'll answer. We have not yet seen a budget from WPFW or the national office, but I understand the national office budget can be presented quickly. We have a budget. We got a budget on, effectively the committee saw it on the 9th of January, for KPFA. So we have KPFA teed up and ready to go. We have, the national office can be teed up and ready to go, on my understanding. I'll ask Stephanie if that's correct.
Yes, it is correct. A lot of it was based upon figuring out the income based upon the income from the budgets of the other units.
Yes, that's correct. And then we have WPFW, which is still in process at the station. Was there another question, Lyndon?
No. So you expect then next week, if you have a meeting, to have KPFA and the national office budgets presented. That would be on the agenda. Okay, thank you.
Let me just say one or the other, or preferably maybe even both.
Well, it would be helpful, or sorry, this is Stephanie, to get the WPFW budget so I know what their revenue will be, so then I can figure out what the central services would be in order to figure out the revenue for the national office.
Correct. And if Stephanie's not comfortable going forward and we don't have an understanding with KPFA, we can just cancel the meeting. We don't have to have a meeting if we don't have
Okay, I'd like to be back on the stack then.
Okay, I'm going to put you... Lyndon, just go ahead now because it's part of this conversation, and then I'll go to the others.
Okay, so has this committee already reviewed KPFA once?
We've had it for 2 weeks. We have not reviewed it officially as part of the work of the committee. But it's been posted to the NFC list for everybody to look at.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Lyndon. And now, Christina.
Yes, I would first of all object to the characterization that Ms. Von Gutten just gave of KPFA not being forthcoming. What happened was we reviewed and we passed our budget in September of 2023. There was a problem with people, the confusion about who got it to the NFC, but it was approved and it was already done. It was in a timely manner. Second of all, I don't see what the fire drill is on getting it done next week for sure without knowing that Maria Negrete can actually be here to present the budget because she has not yet been asked. The date hasn't been locked in with her, and we're going to find ourselves in the same position again if she's unable to make it. So I would suggest that we give ourselves enough time to make sure that she's going to be here. And I don't like to schedule meetings and go, well, I'll meet and I'll just cancel it if it doesn't happen. I think we should give ourselves a couple more weeks and make sure that Maria can make the time for it. Otherwise, it's an exercise in futility.
I appreciate the argument. There are counter arguments to those points, but I won't bother to make them right now.
One
more thing I wanted to say.
Yeah, go ahead.
That the budget was presented. It's all in writing. Stephanie at least has the figures in there and has some idea of what our budget was that passed. So it's not like a fire drill to get the information to her. And, I mean, but last year, as far as Ms. Von Gutten was saying, if management's responsibility is to pass every budget in a timely manner, I would state that I have documentation that WBAI's budget was not passed until the whole end of the year, the projected budget, until the fiscal year was almost over. So I don't understand what the management responsibility you're referencing is. So I would object to it being next week. Thank you.
Thank you.
Teresa for the stack.
I had Tim next, but I think I heard Beth in there. Were you
Kim, to be on Kim was there. Hold Kim on. Was after
Kim.
Christina.
Kim, you're
and
not
I'll
recognized.
Let you
please. Suspend. Kim, you're not recognized. I've got you down, Kim, as the next speaker. I thought I heard Beth requesting the stack before Teresa. Did I, Beth?
I think so. It's been a speaker or two before this that I first
Fine with me.
Okay, and Teresa just came on, so I think that's the correct order. Go ahead, Kim.
Yeah.
No, I'll let Teresa go because she hasn't spoken yet.
Okay. I think that's correct procedure. Go ahead, Teresa.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we cannot deny that what we've got here is a lame duck committee. And we also cannot deny that Aki Tanaka made a motion on the national level that we needed to review the decision that had been made about reconfiguring the central services fee, which raises the cost of what KPFA is expected to donate to national office to about $200,000. So, and I think that WPFW's budget will also be higher because of that central service figure. And we've just had two budgets, WBAI and I believe KPFK, that we didn't even really pass those budgets, we just moved to send them on to the national office because they were deficit budgets. So I can kind of imagine how KPFA must be feeling that they're kind of under attack by a board that's members of this committee that are some of them on their way out and they want to dig into that budget that would raise their obligation to pay national office $200,000, while other stations are not even expecting to pay national office, which is, I think you'd have to admit, somewhat, I don't know, it's kind of topsy-turvy. I mean, they're trying to be as responsible as they can, but they see people kind of rolling up their sleeves, kind of maybe even salivating to get at their budget.
I'm just going to interrupt you for a moment to ask you not to assume motivations on
people. Okay, well, it must be frustrating for them. So I'm going to continue with the motion that I sent to the committee and also to Stephanie and you and R. Paul, that I would suggest that we delay the approval of the KPFA budget until the 27th, and I would like them to pay as much as they can and to have a really tight, tight budget, as I think all of the stations should be. Thank you.
McFadden is back.
R. Paul.
I got to McFadden. I got R. Paul. So following the protocol, we're going to take McFadden first because he hasn't spoken, and then we'll go to R. Paul, and then we'll go back to Beth, or to Kim and Beth. Go ahead, McFadden.
Yeah, I just wanted to say the change to a formula, which Chris Corey had put in to the NFC years ago and eventually got adopted by the PNB, sets a cross-the-board standard for central services. Now, the concern about KPFA, which is where I'm from, having to pay more central services, well, in fact, if KPFA has paid very little central services for the last 2 years, and so there's a disconnect there. But at least going forward, we need these central services to be able to support the national office so we can pay all our bills so that we can do this. And KPFA, as the station that's most capable of paying central services, as we've heard over and over, you know, should not be the one complaining about this and trying to cut this, because if any station can pay it, it should be KPFA, which seems to have a fairly good base of listener support. And so I think, you know, we shouldn't talk about some future motion that might happen, you know, in the next month. We should just do this budget based on the current facts right now, which have a formula that was passed by the PNB last year. And we should do that. Now, if it gets changed, it gets changed. But we shouldn't be making assumptions about what might happen in the future. Thanks.
Thank you, McFadden.
Ms. Jennifer,
R. Paul.
The stack.
Hey, R. Paul, and before you, Christine, I've got you. R. Paul, before you go ahead, I just want to remind everybody we're trying to decide whether or not we need a next meeting date, and perhaps we shouldn't, you know, be delving into the details of other subject matter. We're just talking about whether to have another meeting or not. I realize a lot of this is background information on why we do or we don't need another meeting. Go ahead, R. Paul.
Okay. Yes, first of all, the WBAI budget did in fact get presented at the end of FY23. However, that was the second time it was presented. The WBAI draft FY23 budget had been presented earlier, and you know, there was a second try at it. So it had been presented significantly earlier in FY23. As for the central services formula, it's not that old. It was only brought together in, April? I think it was April that we did that. I think I sent an email about that at some point. So it's, you know, it's not an ancient central services formula. It's from April. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, R. Paul. So now we go back to Kim. Oh, wait a minute. Christina, you did speak on this. Go ahead, Kim.
Well, first of all, the FY23 WBAI budget came up twice last year, first in, I don't know, maybe February or March or something, and then again in August, which it failed to get approved or accepted either time. The FY24 budget went to the LSB at their December meeting with the new LSB. So, you know, BAI has been kind of late. But my point is, since apparently, you know, we as I said, this meeting was set tonight to do KPFA. The chair neglected to set up, you know, ask management to be on this call. And here we are trying to set up another meeting where the chair has not confirmed that management will be available. So I am unwilling to block out any time and review a budget before, and I'm just, this is, you know, chaos. It's not, I don't want an extra meeting.
Thank you, Kim. Christina. Oh, I'm sorry, Beth. Beth is next.
Thank you. First, I have a question and then a comment. Is there anyone here who can explain what is delaying the presentation of the PFW budget? We're still waiting for that, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't that the case? And
Beth, I'd like to suggest, Beth, that we, when we get to the item on the agenda of asking the members when we can expect their budgets, KPFA, WPFW and National Office, that item is on the agenda. We'll get to that.
Okay. All right. Okay. Then the other item is the KPFA budget. It may have been reviewed and passed by their local LSB, but local LSBs, as committees, don't have the authority to authorize it. Authorization of any budget falls to the national governance, in which it's supposed to go through this committee first and then to the PNB for actual authorization. If that budget has, in fact, been ready since September and they're still dragging their feet on presenting, I have to wonder why. Everyone on this call has been elected to the committee and serves until we are replaced by newly elected members. Until then, we are all voting members of this committee to continue to kick the can down the road, another meeting, two meetings, a month, whatever, until you can replace members of this committee.
Let's not characterize motivations.
Kim to the stack.
I'm commenting on effect. It does effectively take that decision out of the hands of the members who are current and present and reserve that decision for those who have not yet been elected and seated. Thank you.
Okay. And I just wanted to also say that we got if it's the KPFA budget under discussion, we got that budget on the 9th of January, and there was some delay in getting it to us because of confusion about the application of the central services formula to that budget, and then there was confusion apparently among the people handling the budget at KPFA about which member would send the budget to the NFC, and that didn't happen. And you know, on my part, I will admit that there was confusion on my part because I thought since it was announced at the NFC meeting that someone from this committee might have alerted management at KPFA and then we would have had more communication. But I also admit that I have communicated to Antonio and haven't heard back yet. And I did not reach out to Maria. So, you know, there are situations, and we, you know, there's no great mystery here. We're just trying to
get on with as much of the business of, as we can of you know, what our jobs are. So I heard Christina.
Yes, I would just like to object to the personal attacks just launched by Beth, saying that KPFA is dragging their feet. We were not dragging our feet. We passed the budget, and I appreciate the fact that the chair just elucidated exactly the way that that happened, because it was confusion about it. So I think that that's important to understand. There is something in Robert's Rules called talking personalities, and to accuse us of dragging our feet is in violation of that. I'm keenly aware that the Pacifica National Board and the NFC are the ones who are the final deciders about the budget. So it's not trying to usurp their authority or their position. We're just saying, let's be reasonable about this and let's try to be a little more efficient. So I think it would be a lot more efficient to follow what Teresa recommended in putting it down the road, so we find out if the central services payments, that this is, if it's going to be changed or not. I think that that makes sense. So, and KPFA is now making central service payments to Pacifica as of last week, by the way. A great deal of money was taken from KPFA in the past, and there was, Maria was deducting it from central services budget, but she is now making central service payments. So just to articulate that fact. Thank you.
Kim.
Yeah, I want to object again to the characterization of KPFA dragging their feet. They approved their budget in September. It was up to either the chair or the director or the treasurer to coordinate this, bringing this budget to the floor. And it's been around since September. We got a second draft or some other draft only 2 weeks ago, but it could have been brought up to the floor months ago. We are in the second quarter, not the third quarter, whatever a member said here incorrectly. And, you know, talking about dragging feet, it wasn't Berkeley. It might have been the chair who didn't line up management to present their budget in a timely fashion and still has not done it for the next meeting. So again, there is no meeting yet because he has not lined up management to agree to be here.
Okay, I'm going to put myself on the stack for a moment and then maybe we can go to a vote. Yes, KPFA created a budget in a timely manner back in September. But it was very soon after that budget had been passed that dialogue began between management and the national office, expressing confusion over the central services formula. And this is not unusual. Other stations have had the same confusion, and different stations have been using different central services formulas over the years, and that's part of the confusion in Pacifica. But no, the chair did not neglect to line up the KPFA budget. There was the confusion about the central services. There was time spent sorting that out. And then there was the confusion about who would send the budget to the NFC, and apparently it wasn't done. And so that led us to receiving the budget finally, and once and for all, and first of all, 2 weeks ago. So I'm not, there's no point accusing and pointing fingers at each other back and forth about dragging feet and, you know, the chair did this and the chair didn't do that. You know, this is a volunteer organization and we have to be kind to each other in order to keep it together. So I'm going to suggest that we could now go to a vote on setting a meeting date for
point of information.
A week from today. Just one moment, Teresa. Appreciate your point, but I want to finish my sentence. I'll go ahead. Ask your question, Teresa.
Did you get the motion that I sent to the whole committee on the listserv, on the Google groups, and also sent a copy to you and Stephanie and R. Paul. It was a motion that because Maria Negrete had not been notified that we postpone discussion and approval of the KPFA budget until February 27th?
Yes, I received that motion, and it was, I considered it not to be germane because the agenda had not gone out yet. And before the agenda went out, I removed the item that your motion was aimed at removing from the agenda. It was, you know, I did it. So it didn't appear to be germane at the time.
Okay. Well, I just wondered if you would maybe consider whether the 27th of next month would be an appropriate time to approve this budget. If you're making a motion now that we postpone or not, maybe that we consider that as an option, because I looked at the two dates that we were due to meet, and I know the PNB is going to be rather busy. So I looked at KPFTX, and the two meetings that we had scheduled for the Finance Committee were February the 13th and February the 27th. I picked the 27th.
Correct. Those are the meeting dates that are already set. And so, yes, you know, that's that is something that can be thrown into the mix. But
thank you.
Right now,
point of
what
order.
We have on the floor. Who is that?
Point of order, Christina.
What is your point of order, Christina?
My point of order is that I have the email that Teresa sent out, and although you changed part of what she said, which was a part of her motion came in prior to the meeting, and her motion was not just postponed until next month. Her motion was that we remove the KPFA budget review until we postpone discussion of the KPFA budget until February 27th, and that we invite the KPFA business manager to the meeting to present. So I think that because her motion came in before the meeting, that we should honor that particular order, and we should vote on her motion first.
Well,
point of order, Steph.
Yeah, 1 second, Beth. I have to deal with one point of order at a time, and I would say that, again, as I read Teresa's motion, the first part of it was to remove an item from the agenda that was not on the agenda. So in that regard, I felt that that motion was not germane to the agenda that went out. So that's number one. And you said that I changed the motion. I didn't change the motion. I simply felt that it was not germane to the agenda because the item that she was seeking to remove from the agenda was not on the agenda. Now, if she had wanted to put something else on the agenda, she could have done that at the beginning of the meeting, but we already passed the agenda. So if you want to do that, that would take a 2/3 vote. And so I'm going to rule that your point of order is not well taken. And then I'm going to go to Beth, who was making a point of order, and then I'll come back to you for that other point of order. So, Beth, what's your point of order?
Thank you. I don't have that email in front of me at the moment, but as I recall, it was a request to remove from the agenda a particular item about the KPFA budget. But it was, that request was made before any agenda had even been issued, and therefore was out of order. It's not possible to remove an item from an agenda that has yet to be issued. And so I think your agenda and your motion are in good order, and it'll have my vote if we can move forward with that. And if that still leaves the question open, then other people want to make other motions, then they have that prerogative. But for now, this is the motion that's on the floor, the motion to meet again next week to review the KPFA budget. Thank you.
Thank you. Christina,
thank you.
What was your point of order?
My point of order is the whole reason we were supposed to meet today was because of the KPFA budget. So it may not have been formally on the agenda, but it certainly was scheduled for this meeting, and that was what we entertained as being on the agenda. And you bifurcated the particular motion that Ms. Allen put up because it's a two-part motion. To not prepared to present, they should to postpone is one part of it. The second part of it is to meet on February 27th, 24th. And then
Christina, could you suspend for a moment? Please suspend for just a moment. I'm asking you what your point of order is. So I'm asking what rule is broken.
I believe it's just a general sense of personalities being involved in this whole mix, and the fact that it's not completely clear as far as what the agenda was.
Hold on, Teresa. Go ahead, Christine.
I'll stop it right there, and I'll wait for whatever anybody else says in the vote, and I will just be quiet now. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Christina. Teresa.
Welcome. I have a point of order.
Okay, state your point of order.
I think the problem is that the rule that was broken is that someone is trying to make a motion that we consider this on the 27th, and it just seems to not being acknowledged. And maybe we need to phrase it differently. Do we want to substitute? Well, have you made a motion, Mr. Chair?
Yes, I move that we have a meeting on February 6th.
Okay, and then I move to amend to make it the 27th.
And that's fine, and because basically it's going to line up, you know, whichever, you know, we'll take the amendment first, and, you know, the votes are going to fall as they may. And
may I just do a quick motivation of my amendment?
Sure.
It just appears that KPFA, who has been working very hard to make ends meet, I think it sounds like they prefer to have it on the 27th. Well, maybe I'm wrong because Mr. McFadden has actually spoken against it, but it just seems to me that from some of the messages that I've seen that various people at KPFA would prefer to have it on the 27th. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. And I will simply say that... since we are arguing that some are arguing that we should not hold a meeting because we don't know what management at KPFA wants, it would be hard. We'd be hard pressed to say, well, we do know what they want, and therefore we should do it on the 27th. So, I would simply say then that also one second, Beth, that I guess what we have to do now is since people are asking for the 27th, somebody will have to make an amendment to say that we should do it on the 13th. And then we'll have to pass. We'll have to go through one amendment, then the other amendment, and then finally get down to having it on the 6th. And we can do that, but because currently we have a meeting scheduled on the 13th as well. So I haven't heard that amendment yet, but I may decide to make it. I heard Beth, were you making a point of order or just wanting to speak?
This is Teresa. I made a point of order.
I heard you, Teresa.
There is an amendment on the floor that has now been motivated, and I want to discuss that amendment.
Okay, and I hear Teresa making a point of order. Go ahead, Teresa.
I think your comments, Mr. Chair, about the we have to consider the 13th, I think you're maybe assuming what people are thinking. So I'm not sure if that was an argument. What?
No, actually, I was stating that I was stating what I was thinking, which is, well, I think we should not put this off for another month, and it would be better than to put it off for a month, to put it off for 2 weeks, and it would be better yet to put it off for 1 week. So I was just saying, you know, now we're going to have two amendments.
Sorry, I just thought I heard you use the word assume, and that you were assuming what we were thinking. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So I guess Arpal helped me with this. I would like to, first of all, I would like to have a meeting on the 6th, but there's an amendment to have one on the 20th, on the, what's the date, the 27th? And then there's, now I would like to amend that to have the meeting on the 13th, but I don't want to get lost in the sauce here.
You can do so, that. You can amend an amendment. You'll have a primary amendment and a secondary amendment. You're making the secondary amendment if you want to make it the 13th.
I am aware of that, and I guess what I'm asking
however,
is there's no way. Yes, go ahead.
However, it wouldn't. You would be saying, let's see, let's go back to the original, which is way up here. Your thing is to have it on the 6th. So, actually, the main motion is to schedule a meeting for February 6th. Now, the amendment that is on the floor is to change that to February 27th. So, since we already have a meeting scheduled for the 13th, simply that would not be in order, I think, because we already have that. We already have a 13th meeting. So, there's that.
Thank you. All right, so I'm going to suggest that we then go to a vote on the 27th, and everybody understands that if you don't want the 27th, we go to the 6th, and we'll, and if, of course, once we have an amendment to the main motion of the 27th, then, because this is not about having a meeting, this is about scheduling, hearing a budget, then someone can amend. If the 27th carries, someone can amend that at that point to make it the 13th or the 6th.
Beth, to,
so.
Beth, to the stack.
Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Yes. Moving consideration of the KPFA budget to the 27th effectively takes it out of the hands of the current committee and reserves it for consideration by the next committee, the members of whom have yet to be elected most. And it leaves that those considerations for people who are not as familiar with Pacifica finances as the current committee is, we all having been part of this process for at least the last year, if not years before that. And we already have meetings on the calendar for the second and fourth Tuesdays. That's normal. That's routine. The KPFA budget, we're now told, has been completed and available since last September. We've had it for the last couple of weeks. To delay any further, I don't see any need or reason to delay any further. It's management's responsibility to present this to the national committee, and that's what they're paid to do. They're employees. So I don't see a problem with moving forward with this next week. Again, this committee has been behind on any number of things, and I will correct Kim's correction to say, again, that we are now one-third, not in the third quarter, one-third of the way into this fiscal year 2024. That's 4 months. 4 months, four is a third of 12. So we're a third of the way into this fiscal year, and the national... The PNB has yet to have the opportunity to consider the budget that KPFA is now acting on without approval. So I think the sooner we review it, the better. There's no reason to delay any further. And I want to move ahead with a meeting next Tuesday. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. I will also point out that budgets are predictions, and they can... one of the objects of the Finance Committee should be, we hope, in the future, to examine the performance of the stations in keeping with their budgets and reviewing that performance as the year progresses. And so if things need to change in the future, they can. These things are not written in stone. They are predictions, projections, aspirations. So that being said, I think we're now getting to the point where we are starting to repeat ourselves, and we are, I will point out, already the first hour of this meeting has gone by, and we're not really getting to any serious business. We've got the executive director standing by to give us a report. We have the consolidated financials. It was requested to be placed number one on this meeting. So let's get down to our business, please. And I'm going to ask R. Paul to go ahead and take a vote on the amendment to the main motion.
Okay. The main motion is to meet on February 6th. The amendment is to make that February 27th. Okay. Hold on a second. Wait a minute. We already have a meeting set for the 27th. So the same reason why I'm saying James Sagerton's motion to meet on the 13th wouldn't be in order, meeting on the 27th wouldn't either. The issue here is simply the one meeting. It doesn't say for what purpose. It says to meet. So I'm. This is in effect a point of order because it's saying the main motion simply says when to meet next to schedule a meeting. There's nothing in there about what we'll do on the 6th. So I would say the amendment should be out of order, just as the 13th would be out of order. So could I suggest we, in fact, go to the main motion?
I think you have a good point. Your point is well taken, R. Paul. So I'm going to rule that your point of order is well taken.
Mr. Chair, then may I speak to the motion of having an extra meeting next week for no apparent reason?
Well, Teresa, I of course, I don't agree with that characterization, but I think we've already said what there is to be said about this for an hour now. So I would ask if we could move on to the vote.
Well, I would beg people to say no to it. Thank you.
Well, fair enough. I think we got that. I think we all know.
Mr. Chair, I guess I appeal the decision of the chair. I think it is appropriate to say I don't think we should discuss the KPFA budget next week, the 6th, and have a special meeting for it. That's appropriate to say.
Teresa, as R. Paul just pointed out, the motion is merely to set a next meeting date. And as I've said before, if we don't need it, we won't need it. But if we can use it, we can use it to good effect, in my opinion. And so let's just go to a vote on whether or not to have a meeting next Tuesday, February 6th. R. Paul, can you take the vote?
Yes, give me a second. Okay, so the motion is to meet next on February 6th. That's all the motion says. Please answer up when you hear your name. Teresa Allen.
No.
Lyndon Foley.
No.
Kamau Harris.
Yes.
Julie Hewitt.
Yes.
Christina Huggins.
No.
Kim Kaufman.
No.
R. Paul Martin. Pass. James McFadden.
Yes.
James Sagerton.
Yes.
Elizabeth Von Gunten.
Yes.
Okay, going back. R. Paul Martin. Yes. Okay, 6-4, 4 against, 0 abstentions.
Okay, thank you everyone on that. Let's move on to review the end of year consolidated monthly statements for the 12 months ending September 30th, 2023. Stephanie, do you want to start us off?
Sure. The
do you want me to go through the numbers for people that might not have it sitting in front of them?
Well, I want to remind everybody that it's on the NFC list, and so, you know, we're all advised to be aware of what's on that list and to keep current with it so we can ask questions and discuss. And while Stephanie is speaking, if everyone can try to locate that, then we can go ahead.
Okay, so the consolidated financials, I'm looking at the first column. I will refer to that because it deals with the overall finances from the foundation rather than going through each station individually. Our total revenue for the end of year was $8,628,459 from the year prior. Our total revenue was $8,668,867. So it was a slight decline of roughly $40,000. One of the things, as we've spent some more time just looking in general at the budget, and as, you know, when we look at the budgets moving forward, is that a lot of the line items, we need to change where we list out some of the accounts and where the revenue is coming from. We still have some questions across the board, like what constitutes a major donor. We don't have, some of the stations have sustainer income, some of them don't have that line item. We have multiple rows for grant income when we don't need to have that, you know, that many, for example. We have, you know, we want to be able to add in, as I said, sustainers. We want to be able to add in the underwriting line. There is a sponsorship underwriting line, but we, you know, we should be able to break that out a little bit more. So we just want to make sure that as we move forward with the revenue, that we look at each of the stations and make sure that we're counting the revenue the same, and that we do actually, it would be nice if the finance committee, as we move forward, is able to be able to define what a major donor is and what constitutes a major donor, and at what point do people move into that major donor world. And, if, you know, so those are one of the things as we move forward. When we look at the overall expenses, we have the expenses for personnel costs were $5,339,474. The year prior was $5,937,264. So there has been a decrease in that, and that's been pretty obvious because we have had some layoffs and some individuals that have left or retired, that kind of thing. We have had a decrease also in our administrative expenses from $2,828,000 to $2,065,000. And programming expenses, we had just a slight decrease as well. It was last year $1,045,000, and it's down to $1,023,000. Development expenses, there's been a decrease. It was $830,000, and we ended the year at $664,000. And then a decrease as well in community special events from $35,000 to $19,000. So the total operating expenses for this past fiscal year were $9,163,145. And again, with this, we need to break some of these things down. As we noticed when we were working on a lot of the station's budgets, and also in particular we discussed it when we were looking at the WBAI budget, is that there are a lot of expenses with personnel that are thrown into, you know, that should be programming, that are thrown into admin, or that are development, and they're, again, thrown into admin. So we really need to take a move as we look at the budgets moving forward, even with those that are accepted or approved, but as the National Finance Committee, as we move forward and starts reviewing the budgets on a regular basis to project out our revenue and project our expenses, that we make sure that we are dividing up and putting those expenses where they belong. You know, so postage doesn't necessarily always have to go into admin if we're using postage for programming expenses to send out premiums, or if we're using postage to send out any sort of mailers that would go under development. I also
What you're going over now is not something you sent us already, right?
I am going through the consolidated financials period ending.
Pardon me. Thank you.
McFadden to the stack when she's done.
I also want to move as we look through at central services, because just the way that the budget is kind of mapped out is that it's very confusing to have the central services kind of plugged down below when, again, we need to do a better map out of what act, and I want to move the central services up into the revenue and then also put in the income. And I did this on a kind of a rough budget that was sent to the National Finance Committee in September, but moving into the revenue line as well. Granted, it would be blank for the stations, but it'd be able to have it up in the revenue central services that would be going to the National Office and or the archives, just so it's a little bit easier to read and understand. And also because we do have stations, it was in the ED report, but we do have stations that are paying central services. KPFA has started paying central services to the tune of roughly $17,000 a month. The KPFK pays, archives pay, and or KPFT, I'm sorry, has been paying central services, and the affiliates have been paying central services. But also one thing that we've been doing for quite a few months now, we probably know that there hasn't been much discussion for quite some time now about we're not making payroll. What are we going to do as far as, you know, cutting back on salaries and taking a percentage, is because of quite a few months ago, what we did is that we divided that basic shortfall that we were having each month with payroll and spreading it out amongst the stations that were not paying central services. So although they couldn't afford to pay central services, they have been able to afford to just get that little bit of extra paid in to cover that average shortfall for payroll. That way we can make sure that we're eliminating that what we were experiencing is somewhat of a constant threat of not making payroll. So I want to make sure that, and we will actually now stop KPFA from paying that additional fee because they're paying their, you know, they're paying some portion of the central services. So we want to make sure that as we move forward with the budgets and review them, that we do, you know, reflect what those, what that payment has been, and to make it fair across the board. And again, to determine, again, going back to the revenue, if it is a, you know, as to what is in our revenue that should have central services taken out of, because some stations, they, you know, have a lot of listener support, but then they don't have any sustainers, or they, you know, have major donors, but not a lot of listener support. So I think we would hope, I would hope that in working with the personnel committee, we could kind of make a better definition as to what those are. I'm not, those are deaths, just all the revenue and the expenses in a nutshell. I mean, I don't know if you want to, I don't need to really particularly go through each individual expense line item, but I can take questions if people want.
Teresa for the stack.
Lyndon to the stack.
James, you're muted, I think. Baggerton, you're muted.
I'm sorry, chatting away and I was muted. Yeah, I was saying I'm going to put myself on the stack, and then I heard Teresa and Lyndon, and I think McFadden had asked for the stack in the middle of Stephanie's presentation. Are you asking for the stack, McFadden?
Yes, I did.
Anyone else? Okay, I'm going to quickly start with
Kamau to the stack.
Gotcha, Kamau. There's more. We'll do more later. I just have a very quick question, Stephanie. Exactly when did that payroll fee, I think you called it, begin?
I believe that I can pull up the paperwork, but I believe that it started around August, September. But I'll pull up a central service.
Got it. And that right. That is then being deducted from central services, from the stations that are paying it?
Correct. So technically, we can say everybody's paying something with central services, but, you know, it is really going, it goes straight into, it's not being used to cover anything but payroll. It hasn't been used to cover any outstanding bills. It hasn't been used to cover, you know, if somebody has a you know, any outstanding bills from the national office, any outstanding bills of any other station. It strictly is going into we have a separate bank account that's just for payroll, and that excess dollar sits in there. So in case that there is something that we run into where a station is falling behind in their payroll in general, we have a cushion. So it's not being used for anything but payroll.
So in effect, that would mean, for example, KPFA, which you had put out that list showing that KPFA hadn't paid central services in 2 years, calendar years, not fiscal years, that would actually be 1 year and 8 months, not 2 years.
Correct.
If this goes back to August, September. Got it. Thank you. Okay, next I heard
Teresa.
And since
they're paying central services, we are, you know, their central service payments, the affiliate central service payments, and KPFT, since those are directed as central service payments, those are being used to help offset expenses that the national office incurs. Insurance. I mean, good news is that the paperwork has been signed, is that we now have casualty and liability insurance nationwide. Okay. And that having the central service payments from KPFA definitely helped, but we signed and agreed to that insurance prior to them starting to pay central services. But now that we know that money will be coming in, for example, from them, we can now change the payment plan that we're negotiating with the insurance company to pay it quarterly rather than trying to pay it monthly. We can now kind of reduce some of the fees to pay it on a monthly schedule, and we can now pay it on a quarterly schedule, or pay half of it and then the rest at the end of, whatever it is, because we now know we can project out and rely on the anticipated income from that central service payment. So those payments, KPFA, affiliates, and KPFT are used for expenses that are with the national office, whereas the excess payroll payments are strictly held and restricted to payroll.
Very good. Good to know that we have insurance. Finally, that's a great relief, and also good to know that central services are being used to pay for the things that they're supposed to be used to pay for. Very
Correct.
Good. Thank you for that. Linda, oh no, I'm sorry. Teresa was next.
Can you hear me?
McFadden was next.
I got the McFadden. I got for Teresa, Linda, and then McFadden, and then
I thought I asked back instead before anybody else did.
Well, you kind of broke into
that. Okay.
You're right.
Okay.
You're right. That's right. You did.
Go ahead. Let them go first. Let them go first.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I guess my question is, I'm not quite understanding how it works, but you're saying that stations that were not being able to pay payroll will now be making payroll. Can they be making payroll at the same time they're not paying for health care or pension or tower or rent, so that they're accruing debt at the same time they're making payroll? So they're not cutting payroll, but they're making payroll by not paying other bills.
Well, we're having to prioritize what payments are made. And one of the things when we were trying to, again, prioritize what has to be paid, is payroll is always a priority within the stations. And we are also at the same time working on reducing payroll costs. We are somewhat limited when we reduce payroll costs based upon agreements that we have with, various unions where we have we have to offer people, if we are discussing any sort of layoffs, we have to discuss with, give people the option of a voluntary layoff. And then with some of the agreements that we have, there's just a certain number of hours or equals out to people that we can reduce hours. So if it's something that's equivalent to 1.5 people, that could be one full-time person may be making a full-time half-time, or getting 3 part-times that would be equivalent to 1.5 people. So those are discussions that we've had at a lot of the stations. We also have severance packages that need to be paid out. So often if there are reductions in the workforce, they have to be sort of scattered. So we don't get hit, the stations don't get hit with a large severance package, or if it is a large severance package, some, you know, that means we're still continuing with that payroll for 6 months, 8 months, 10 months, a year. So we have to make sure that it isn't a huge hit on the stations. But we have been working very diligently with the stations and the unions, and with non-union staff as well for any sort of employee reductions. Also taking, obviously, a close look at consultants and making sure that the consultants are actually consultants, that they're needed. We've been making sure that any consultants that we have are sending us invoices with their hours and what they've done before they're getting paid.
Excellent.
And then being able to look at everything that way.
Okay.
But payroll has been a priority.
Yeah, I realize that you cannot say, well, we're consciously deciding not to pay this because this is an open meeting and there would be creditors that would be very upset to think that they were not priority. But my basic question is, can we be paying payroll at the same time we have stations that are not making health care and not making pension payments?
Well, people are making their health care payments. We're so far behind with some of the health care payments, it's always a matter of being caught up. So we haven't had any health care that is canceled. And there's pension, that's another story, because there really is no retirement plan for individuals here. There used to be a long time ago, and there are a few people that are grandfathered into that, but there's no pension or retirement for people.
Right. But we do have penalties if we don't keep up our payments to pension plan, right?
Well, the pension plan, there's pension plans have been closed, and a lot of the pension plan payments are paid out of an existing fund that was created quite a long time ago just to cover pension.
Thank you.
And then people pay into the union as well. But employees don't pay into a pension plan because most of the employees don't have any pension or retirement plan here. None of that doesn't exist. There's probably 5 or 6 employees that they were grandfathered into that.
Thank you, Teresa. Thank you, Stephanie. Let's go to Lyndon.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Stephanie, on the consolidated sheet, line 39, central services from stations, I'm confused about this whole accounting setup here for the central services. Because I'm looking at the comparison to 2023 in the prior year. Now, on line 39 in the prior year, every month you had $132,956 for central services from stations as a credit. And then the next year, the year that we're looking at or analyzing tonight, it's like $18,000 a month. And so you come out with your central services total in line 42 of for 2023 of $1.349 million. And in 2022, it's $5,334. Can you explain what is going on here?
Yeah, this whole section with central services and how this is accounted on this spreadsheet was an issue even with NEDA, because the only money, like the money to be paid to the archives, which is the PRA, line 41, the only station that had been paying money into the archives has been KPFA. That's it. And it's definitely not $17,000.
So KPFA or KPFT?
KPFA has been paying. They have it on auto pay. And it's about $4,000 possibly a month. I can be corrected, please. And they just have it on auto pay that was going into the archives. And then to the national office, the only money that was being paid on a regular basis was from the affiliate network, And
well,
they were
I realize,
mm-hmm.
pardon me, but I realize a lot of people aren't paying. But why were we recording $132,956 a month the previous year, and this year recording $18,000 or $20,000 a month?
Well, the central service from the stations and the parentheses is money that was not being paid. That was the amount that should be paid that's not being paid.
So $132,000 or $133,000 a month last year, but it's only been like $20,000 or $32,000 a month this year?
Yeah, and none of this makes any sense on how it's mapped out.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. And so when I look at central services and when Markeisha looks at central services and when we look at the consolidated financials, we actually pull this part out and make it more realistic and understandable because as to what and break it down by each station and as to what has been paid, what hasn't been paid. And Markeisha has been creating individual spreadsheets. I was hoping to have them by this evening, but I know I sent one out. Regarding
okay,
KPFA. But yeah, this whole section does not make sense, and I know that's not a good answer, but even Netta couldn't explain to me where these numbers even come from.
Right. Pardon me again, but this, so if I'm understanding what you said correctly, then what we're looking at on line 39 for the year 2023, these 18,091, you're saying that only 18,091, we're only short 18,091? From, and you know, there's several stations that aren't paying that adds up to way more than that.
Correct. Yeah. Again, this, I wish I had better answers, but these numbers don't.
Okay. I'll move on.
Yeah. I mean, I apologize for that. And you can call me and we can go through the spreadsheets from Markeisha that breaks it down per station.
Well, I have it. Yeah. That would be nice to. I've seen that in the past, but that's why I say that just doesn't make any sense. And I don't know the switch from last year to this year, but I like to go on to PRA. Now I'm looking at their numbers, and I think the prior year was similar. They have total salaries and related expenses of $217,000. Then they have storage of $27,000. And then when we get to under programming expenses, tape supplies restoration, $788. Now, I thought they were in the business of preserving our archive. And so I guess the $27,000 storage rental is dedicated to that. But as far as bringing any of our material up to standards, up to saving it, are we only spending $788, which is like we're spending 276 times as much on salaries as we are on tapes, supplies, and restoration?
It's a problem. And that's why, as we're moving forward, I have asked that they take a close look that we're closing down the storage facility and that we're moving everything from the storage facility into one location so we can have a better grasp of what we have, what we don't have, and catalog everything.
Right. But does it take $217,000 in salary to spend $788 on tape supplies and restoration or to rent out a storage unit for that matter?
No. And as we move forward with the archives budget that was proposed earlier that the committee passed, is that we are looking to make the cuts that may be necessary as we move forward to make sure that we are utilizing staff to its fullest and are really focusing on cataloging and taking care of the tapes that we have.
Okay, if I can get back on the stack, I'll let others go. James, can I get back on the stack?
Can't hear you, James.
We can. James, are you muted?
Sorry. Yes, thank you, Lyndon. I was just about to ask you for that, and I appreciate the gracious way you beat me to it.
So you're back on the stack now. And next is McFadden.
And Christina for the stack, please.
Gotcha, Christina.
Thank you.
Hi, Stephanie. I just wanted to alert you to, before the next meeting, to take a close look at the KPFA budgets, which we're going to be hoping to review at the next meeting. And I just wanted to point you to one particular issue, and that is that the listener revenue is about a half, projected listener revenue for this fiscal year is about $500,000 more than was obtained last year, which seems a bit unrealistic. If you go through that budget and assume that doesn't materialize, this is going to create a extreme burden on trying to balance that budget. And especially the ability of KPFA to make its central services. So it's as it's going right now, it sounds like we're paying only about 40% of our central services of late, and we failed to pay it for most of the last 2 years. If this revenue stream doesn't materialize,
Point of order, then it seems like we could really be in some trouble.
McFadden, could you suspend for a moment? I'm hearing a point of order. What's your point of order?
Yes. My point of order is the speaker is talking about the budget, which is supposed to be under review next week, and he's not speaking about the consolidated financials for 2023.
Let's see.
Well, this is the point of time where we can ask Stephanie about everything. We don't have to, keep.
Actually, Lyndon is correct. Right now, we're in the consideration of the consolidators. We didn't get to Stephanie's report yet. Stephanie, if you want to combine your report with the consolidators, I suppose. Well, now we'd have to change the agenda for that. So, yeah, I think the point of order is well taken.
I'll come back to this.
Thanks, McFadden. I appreciate that. Were you done then?
No, I'll come back to it.
I mean, are you done with your questions this time? Yes.
At this time, yes.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Okay, Kamal.
Okay, Stephanie, do you know of the consolidated payroll? How many FTEs in total the network carries? And do you know in total how many consultants the network carries?
Is the executive director on mute?
Could be.
I'm sorry. Yes, I was. I can pull those from our payroll records. We don't have one consolidated payroll record for the entire foundation. We have individual payroll statements for each station, so and each division. So I can pull those and send them to the committee. And then consultants, it varies per month. Some stations have a consultant that's only there to do a special project. Some have consultants that are there for a longer period of time. So those vary from month to month per station based upon the project. But I can get the average for that. And those just come through via invoicing. It wouldn't come through under, this is where the problem is it shouldn't be under a personnel cost. It needs to be divided up either as a programming consultant or a development consultant.
Okay, and then my follow-up on the consultants. Is the information about a consultant confidential? What they do, how long they're supposed to do it for, whatever the contractual obligation is that a confidential matter?
I don't think so, no. A consultant is a vendor in my world. they're hired to do a certain job. We need to know what that job is, how many hours they're going to put into it, and that's why we're asking for the stations to provide us with invoices for each of the consultants before they're just automatically paid. And we are getting that with the majority of the consultants. Before a consultant is even brought in, we need to know why they're being hired and what the contract is. So there are some consultants that have been around for years, and we need to look at what their contracts were. Some of the consultants, there aren't even contracts. It's just a handshake and a napkin, you know, signature. So we're requesting that each of the consultants, as I said, we get a invoice from them, and they will get paid just like every other vendor.
And then finally, do we issue 1099s? I may have asked this before, but do we issue 1099s to our consultants?
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Kamau. Christina, you have not spoken yet in this section, I believe. I'm going to ask you to be brief if you can. We're at the end of our time for this item. And Lyndon, I'm going to let you go if nobody objects, but I hope you can ask a quick question, and then we can be out to the next section, the next item on the agenda. Go ahead, Christina.
Actually, my question is concerning the executive director's report. So if we're not on that yet, I'll reserve my question for when she gives her report.
Thank you, Christina.
This
Lyndon?
Is with a brief item.
Yes, I move that we extend for 10 minutes.
Okay, Lyndon. I called on Linda, and he started to speak, so I'll come right back to you. You want to extend this item and the meeting for 10 minutes?
This item, I really don't care about the meeting, but this item, yeah. I mean, we spent Lord knows how much arguing about next week and this most important deal, and we're going to just blow over it.
I couldn't agree more. And in fact, Lyndon, I'm going to amend your motion to extend this item for 10 minutes and to extend the whole meeting until 10:30. All right, Paul, did you get that?
Hold on.
Take your time. And Beth, did your comments have to do with this or?
Yes.
Do you want to be heard in this item or about
yes.
extending? Okay, so we'll put you on the. I'm sorry. What did you say?
Yes, on this item, not about extending.
Okay, great.
I support extending, but it's not about that.
Okay, I'll put you on the stack after right. Lyndon for this item.
All right.
Okay,
so what I have is a main motion to extend the time for this item by 10 minutes and an amendment to add to extend the time for the meeting till 10:30 Eastern.
That sounds correct. Thank you. Is there any discussion?
On the amendment.
Hearing none. Is there any objection? Well, this is on the amendment. That's right. Is there any objection? Okay, going to the main motion now as amended. Is there any, I guess we're just in a vote. Is there any objection? Hearing none. Let's go ahead. And that brings us back to Lyndon, who was going to ask a question or two.
Okay, thank you, Chair.
Yes.
I put together a little chart for myself so I could look at this in one, you know, all at once, and put together the administrative costs, program expenses, et cetera, as like a percent of revenue. And so, you know, KPFA is a real outlier because the revenue is so high. But, you know, for KPFK, BAI, and PFW, and KPFT is an outlier too because the revenue is pretty low. But for those three in the middle, KPFK, WBAI, and WPFW, you know, they have wildly different administrative expenses, like 11% of revenue for KPFK, 22% for WBAI, and, 36% for PFW. And so I guess part of this comes back to what Stephanie was talking about, how contractors or consultants are treated. So then if you go to WPFW, you can see in their administrative expenses, you know, they have $186,000 for consultants, temps, contractuals versus $116,000 last year. Now, back when I was on the PMB, I thought we, you know, passed something, a motion saying that people could not increase their payroll and or could not hire new people. And I do believe that extended to consultants, temps, and contractuals. Now, and then, of course, the other thing that puts their administrative expense at, I think, what did I say, 36%, is that their office rent is $206,000. And I understand they've been having a real back and forth over office rent, but you know, they're paying $17,000 a month. Now $17,500 a month in office rent. That is ridiculous for a place that's losing money and paying temps, you know, going from 116 to 186 for a place that's losing money. This does not seem to be, you know, an organization that's really looking to survive, in my opinion. The overall, the personnel costs, which I know Stephanie said we have a hard time, you know, getting rid or reducing our personnel costs. And I remember it, you know, KPFK, all the, you know, unionized people, and we didn't have enough money to pay severances and stuff. But our personnel costs from 2022 to 2023 just went down 10%. I don't think that's adequate for an organization that is in our situation. Thank you.
Lyndon, was that a statement or a question? Let me just ask Stephanie if she wants to come in.
Yeah.
Let's let Stephanie comment if she wishes.
Well, I agree to the extent that I think that there are, and I'm not pointing fingers, I'm not naming stations, I'm just saying it sometimes as an observer. I know I work for Pacifica, but when I came in and there are multiple issues that need to be addressed and fixed, sometimes I look at the organization coming in as an outsider to the foundation and seeing what things can be fixed, what can we change, what is the order of us, you know, in order to do this. And there appears as if there have been individuals that on their own have opted to say, I would rather be a consultant than an employee. And Pacifica has allowed them to do that. Or to get around the not hiring staff, let's bring in somebody as a consultant. How do we get around certain union things? Oh, bring in a consultant. You know, so then we work with the unions and then that person has to become a staff member. I know that's happened at one of the stations just recently. You know, there are people that were consultants that shouldn't be consultants. And so they're doing the job of an employee. They're being told what to do. They're being told what hours they need to come in. They have set hours. That's not a consultant. That's an employee. So then we have to follow those labor laws. We have to follow those union rules and we have to make them an employee. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but the overall costs of personnel are being lumped into admin costs, again, when they should be development. If it's somebody that's a programmer and we also have expenses based upon that program, such as paying for premiums or what have you, that has to be then put in as a programming expense. So there are multiple steps to get things right. And, you know, unfortunately, I just have to sometimes do it at station by station and start breaking stuff down and working and changing ways of habits and business practices that some people or stations or employees or divisions have been doing for decades. So I am aware that the dollar ratio of what we bring in and what we spend isn't good. And we need to either figure out we're doing no consultants, all consultants, are we paying programmers, not paying programmers? I mean, all of that needs to be figured out, and the expenses connected with the program and the expenses connected with personnel needs to be spread out accordingly to programming or development. So it's not an easy fix because it's changing decades and decades of habit. But I think a lot of it in general is just changing how these budgets look. These are just too difficult. This whole spreadsheet is so difficult to look at. It's difficult to read. It doesn't have a, you know, it spreads out too far. There's not good sections for comments. You know, we'll get there. It's just slow. I mean, I'm hoping that as the National Finance Committee moves forward and we have budgets that are approved or accepted, maybe they're not approved, but they're accepted, then we can start looking at these meetings where, you know, the beginning of the month, we're looking at three stations and, you know, or, you know, four of the divisions to review with the treasurers the projections. And then the next meeting, we look at the other half and figure out, and we can get a better grasp and make those changes and adjustments. If we see that the personnel costs are going up, why? What's happened? Oh, okay, we had to turn some consultants into employees because we're abusing those, you know, the title of consultant when really they should be a union employee. You know, those are the kind of things that we need to look at and fix along the way, because how it's been going so far is too inconsistent across the board. It's too difficult to follow, and it's not making any sense, and it's hurting us financially. So, you know, I wish I could fix things faster. But I can't. There's too many little steps that we need to take along the way, and we'll get there. It's just not as quick as I would like it, and I know that so many other people would, you know, want it to be fixed much faster.
Thank you, Stephanie. Lyndon, if you don't mind, we're almost at the end of this item, and Beth has not yet spoken in this item, so I'm going to let her go ahead and ask her question, if I may.
Oh, I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you, Lyndon. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Hi, Stephanie. As this committee has agreed in the past and had your agreement too, and as is restated in the header of our every meeting when we get the agenda, monthly Pacifica financials and other materials are simultaneously copied to the NFC, the PNB officers, and the unit managers. And the financials may be released publicly after the NFC completes its review. And I recognize what a challenge that is within Pacifica, but I want to raise the issue again, because directors have a legal responsibility to do our due diligence financially, to know what's going on in a timely manner and not just months after the fact, after decisions have already been made. And the only way to do that is to receive this monthly or this financial information on a regular basis in a timely manner. And if I'm not mistaken, some of the limitations you've had to deal with in the past is that information isn't always provided to you in the national office in a timely manner. And so you're left waiting for others to make good on that obligation. And so I would like to encourage you going forward to commit to just making financial statements, reporting on our financial situation on a regular basis, monthly, at the second
of our regular monthly meetings, the fourth Tuesday of every month, as was previously agreed. And if various units, any given unit, has not provided you with information adequate to make that report for their unit, then that's what you report. And I realize that's awkward in some ways, but if that's the reality, then we need to know that. And it would make a big difference for all of us tracking Pacifica finances to know that we would have current numbers on a regular, frequent, monthly basis that we could count on, even if they're not complete. If they're not complete, then that's what should be reported, and that should also be reflected in job performance reviews for those who are responsible for providing that information. I know you've heard me, others have heard me comment on this before in the past. It will continue to be a particular concern of mine. You've heard what I have to say now, and I wanted to first sympathize with you on the predicament it puts you in when others further down the chain of command don't make good on their obligation, and then just offer you the opportunity to comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth.
Teresa for the stack.
Teresa, I want to give Stephanie a chance to respond, and then we are out of time for this item. So unless you want to move to extend, we're going to have to go to the next item on the agenda.
No, that's quite all right. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. Stephanie, did you want to respond?
Oh, I agree. You know, needing to, and that's one of the things with getting the banking, everybody consolidated into one bank. It makes it a lot easier. I can pull up at any given moment what's in the account, on my phone, and look at the expenses and look at any sort of revenue that's been coming in. So that's making it a lot easier. But, you know, we can't put out the financials if we don't have all the information. People may, you know, again, send us revenue or send us income and say, oh, this is all major donors, but we don't know who they are. Are they major donors? Is it listener support? Is it a sustainer that has now moved into the major donor world? So it's basically, you know, garbage in, garbage out. We need to get better clarification as to making sure that everybody is recording their revenue and everybody is recording their expenses in the same consistent way. And then it makes it on it in a timely way when we need it. Because if we don't have all the numbers from a division or with changes that are coming in with something, then it's not just a matter of changing the number in one column. If we have changes in the consolidated, if you know, numbers come in today, it's not just changing this month's financials. We've got to go back 3, 4, 5, 6 months because it's going to affect all of those, particularly because it's an ongoing, you know, it's year to date. I mean, I would love to be able to get everything in a consistent, timely manner. And that hasn't always been the case.
Thank you, Stephanie. We are once again coming close to our time certain, 10:25, I have it. We have two more items on the agenda, Stephanie. One is your report, and the other is we already talked about the national office budget, but we'd like to get a quick report from WPFW on where they are with their budget. But I'm going to suggest, I'm going to move to extend for another 10 minutes beyond 10:30. Let's make it 15. So Stephanie can give her report. And I sense that there were a lot of questions floating around out there that weren't necessarily on point with the consolidators, but that people still have a reservoir of questions that they'd like to ask. So you told me earlier today that you didn't have much to report.
So maybe we could go and use a lot of that time for people to just ask a broader range of questions. So,
Mr.
Stephanie,
Chair?
Yes, yes, our Paul?
You're making a motion to extend the meeting by 15 minutes?
Yes, from the 10:30 time, sir.
Okay, I would also point out then that the time for this item is over.
Correct. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, so is there any, let me just ask for unanimous consent to extend to 10:45. Is there any objection? Hearing none, that's done. Thank you, everyone. I appreciate your consideration of the fact that Stephanie's here, and that's a good use of her time since she's been waiting. She waited for quite a while for us to get going. So, Stephanie, the floor is yours. Why don't you give whatever report you'd like, and then we'll open for questions.
An ED report was sent out to everyone prior, and so that's basically what I'll be covering here. It
Correct.
Lists the payables that we have as of 1:30. There are a couple of other bills that came through today, so there might be some changes, so these numbers would look different the next time this comes in. But overall, our payables, some are past due, extensive, but very, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years past due. Others are just, you know, 30 days, they're on time, basically. But our total payables is $1.3 million. As far as our loan information, I have that separate category as well. We have, with our FJC loan, our past due interest is $440,000, and with the SBA EIDL, our interest past due is $104,000. As I did state down in another part of the ED report with the Los Angeles sale, is that we are working closely with FJC and with the Small Business Association, which has been a little bit of a challenge working with them, to work on getting a new loan agreement with both of the agencies since the building is being sold and the LA building is being used as collateral for that. So we've been working with both of those just to change the agreement a little bit so we can remove the liens that are on that building prior to the close of escrow for the Los Angeles building. So it's all, again, a little bit of, you know, timing because they can't technically get the funds transferred over for purchasing of the building until the liens are removed. So it's just, we're working on it and we're moving forward successfully. Because it has taken just a little bit longer to work with the SBA, we agreed, both parties, ourselves and the buyers of the building, that we've extended the close of escrow to give us more time to remove those liens. And so the closing on the building is now the end of February. The KPFK folks are doing a great job cleaning up, having parking lot sales, you know, and really making progress toward making sure that that date, you know, that we reach the dates and we're doing what we can to clean up and move out. The buyers of the building are working with us because they understand that there are things that we cannot do until the money is in our hands. We can't hire movers. We can't hire junk removal, those kind of things, until we have the funds. So they're working with us to make sure that the move out is as smooth as possible. You know, again, understanding that there are certain things we can't do until the money has changed hands. We have also secured a temporary location for KPFK that includes studio space, two studios, and then one studio and a small work area. We also had a discussion yesterday about the possibility of adding another small office that's on the same floor just for some storage and to have some extra backup. So we've been in, there's a small but mighty group of volunteers at KPFK that have been meeting weekly, sometimes two times a week. John Amela and Mo are also on the phone call, as well as a large percentage of the staff at KPFK, our board ops and such, to really talk about what we need to do to make sure that the spaces that we're moving into is what we need. And we've just finished working, and the people that we're renting the space from as well, they're aware that we have some changes that we need to make in the rooms, and they're doing all of that work for us. So we just finished finalizing the MOU that will be attached to the lease that includes all the specifications that we're needing that the building owners will be making to those spaces. And then they've also approved amending the basic building rules and regulations that includes providing us unlimited access to the roof and electrical closet. So those are things that we need. We're going to be keeping the main, because we're moving back into the building, this is just sort of a temporary location. So the main address for KPFK and archives and the national office is still going to be Cahuenga, but in the meantime, we are going to be getting the mail forwarded to a PO box during the duration of that build out. So that's happened, or that the post office should be doing that in a matter of days. We have some individual donors who are fronting the first and last and security costs for the move-out, which is approximately $7,000. So we're grateful for those individuals who are willing to front that money for us in order to move forward with the lease. And we're also getting a little bit closer to securing a large office space for the archives. There is some space in the current building that we'll be moving into in Glendale for KPFK, but there's also some other space that the archives director has been looking at as well. That's also in Glendale, just randomly. That is what we want to do is close out the storage facility that the archives have been, the 80% of the archive material has been stored in multiple storage facilities across Los Angeles, and it's been an expense that is unnecessary. So what we want to do is be able to save that expense, close the storage facilities, and the cost of the storage is actually more expensive than what would be renting space. So since they're making those storage payments, it'll be easy for them to be able to make rent in a new area. And what we want to do is be able to get all of the archive material into one climate-controlled space. And then the staff has been given a timeline, and I've talked with the director regarding, you know, what we need to do to get everything categorized and cataloged and really take a close look at what has been living in these storage facilities for the last decade or so, so we can better prioritize what we need to have digitized and just get a better understanding of what we have in the archive. And once we're able to prioritize the digitization, then the buyers that are moving into the building have agreed to have a fundraiser for us in order to help pay for some of the digitization that needs to be done and finish off the website that the archive started about 5 or 6 years ago, where we can put a lot of these tapes. And then at that point, when they're able to be easily accessible, we can then work on licensing them and also just making them easily accessible and download if they're using them for other stations, using them for premiums. Also with the building, we will be placing the funds from the sale of the building into a restricted escrow account. We did the same thing when we sold the building at KPFT, and a lot of that is just so we can make sure that we have transparent and good accounting for any sort of expenses that will come from the revenue from the sale of that building, and that we can make sure that it's just, safe in a restricted escrow account. We have received appraisals for one of the things that our loan company requested, since they're, revising the loan agreement that we have, is new appraisals for the buildings that are being used as collateral for the loan. So we did receive appraisals already for the Berkeley and the Houston properties. And so those we just finished with the Houston appraisal today. And so all of that information is going to be forwarded to FJC to satisfy the requirements that they have. So does anybody have any questions?
Oh, thank you for that, Stephanie. That was very good. If you don't mind, I'm going to recognize McFadden first, because he was interrupted for asking a question that was not germane to the item on the agenda at the time, but I think this would be the time for him to ask his question, and then I'll take a further stack. Anybody else?
Christina,
gotcha. Anybody else?
Come out.
Gotcha. I'm going to put myself on, and if anybody else wants to jump in, I'll let you go before I do. Go ahead, McFadden.
So what I wanted to just give Stephanie a heads up on is to look over the KPFA budget, and so that she'll be prepared next week when we discuss this. My concern is that there's, if you look at the listener support, they're projecting a $500,000 increase over what was received in 2023 actuals, and that seems to be quite a bit. In fact, it's around the amount, same amount that you would need for essential services. So if that doesn't materialize, and it's a pretty big increase over the actuals from last year, then this will be a big hit to KPFA's ability to fund central services. And I think, you know, if it's unrealistic, then it would be useful to start cutting costs to account for that. It looks like there's been no reduction in expenses for that budget. And so, in fact, administrative expenses went up by $100K. So I'm thinking that it's this could set up KPFA so that it can't pay its central services, which it hasn't really been doing anyway. It's only been paying about 30% and now up maybe to 40%. So this is could be a real blow to the national office. Thanks.
Thank you, McFadden. Stephanie, did you want to respond?
No, I mean, I'll definitely take a close look at it and then, you know, talk with the KPFA staff, unless I'm looking at a wrong budget. So I'm looking at a fiscal year 24 KPFA preliminary budget. They have the total revenue that was actual for last year of $3,458,248. So $3.4 million. They had budgeted last year $3.7 million, but this year they have budgeted $3.597 million. So it's an increase of total revenue of $146,000.
The total revenue is not much different, and that's what I originally looked at first. But there's an unrealized gain of $75K, and there's also a fairly large major donor income last year, which is not cannot be necessarily realized. So what I focus on is line number 7. That's when you got to look at actual listener support projected. You know, that's the $500,000 is at that location.
Yeah, and that's good. Actual was 2.3, and the budgeted is, or the projected, or the preliminary budget for fiscal 24 is 2.8. Okay, yeah, I'll just get, I mean, what I want to really encourage is just notes, you know, that notes and comments section at the end of the budget, because it does help answer a lot of these questions, because I'm sure that they have a justification for how they reach that figure, but it's a lot easier to be able to read that in the notes or budget narrative. Budget narratives are great, but it's helpful to have that narrative in the same column, you know, so we can answer those questions. But I will definitely ask for the justification for that.
Thanks. We have Christina next. Who was that asking for the stack?
Kim.
Kim.
We've got quite a few
for the stack, and we're 5 minutes from our time certain, so let's try and push through some of these and then we'll see if we need to extend again.
Beth, too.
Beth, I already have you before Kim.
Okay. Thank you.
Go ahead, Christina.
So I have a quick question and a correction to something Mr. McFadden said. We have cut personnel costs. We have already had layoffs at KPFA, and there have been positions that were vacant that were not filled. So that's inaccurate that we have not had any layoffs or changes in personnel costs. My one question is pretty brief, actually, Stephanie, is I see on the report on the financials page that Mr. Schwartz is owed $165,830 for various legal services. What I wanted to ask you is he's on quite a few different PNB meetings and a lot of various meetings for Pacifica. Is he getting paid when he attends those meetings? I'm just curious.
He is not getting paid for attending those meetings. He usually counts those meetings into his monthly retainer fee.
Well, then I'm sorry, but that to me is getting paid. So if it's in hours for monthly retainer fee, then he's getting paid to attend meetings, and that is something that was never done previous to Mr. Schwartz being our counsel. Our former counsel never attended meetings, almost very rarely, and when he did, it was never as frequent as Mr. Schwartz, and I would object to him getting paid for those meetings when we're having this budgetary problem, because there's nothing in the bylaws about a counsel attending meetings and it counting towards his billable hours. So, thank you. That's just my question and my point.
He forwarded all of his. We do have all of his invoices of what is owed, so I'm happy to send those to the finance committee.
I would appreciate that.
They were sent to the PMB, or they have been attached to the PMB ED reports, I think, a couple of months ago, but that was prior to you being on the board. So I will, I can send those to the National Finance Committee.
I would appreciate that. And I'd also like to thank you for a very well put together, very straight up report that you did on the financials and on central services in LA and everything. Just very clear and very well, very professionally done. And thank you.
Thank you.
It's 10:42. We have 1, 2, 3, 4 people on the stack. Does anybody want to move to extend for maybe another 5 or 10 so we make sure we get to everyone?
I move to extend 10.
Thank you, Lyndon. I'm just going to go straight to asking if there's any objection.
Okay, we're extending what? The meeting itself to
the meeting itself
for 10 minutes.
To 10:55, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. And I didn't hear any objection. Correct? Okay, so we're extended, and now we are up to Kamau.
Thank you. Stephanie, the report says payables as of 1:30, and on the notes, several of these, and really I'm looking at some of our PFW outstanding, it'll say November past due. How many days do we count before we consider something past due and that it would appear on this particular report?
I consider something past due past 30 days. We haven't received a lot of the updated financials from WPFW. So that is one of the stations where we are having difficulty receiving information. So that may not be accurate.
Okay, because that was going to be my next question was, considering we're at the end of January, it feels like, you know, December would be noted on here if that was past due. All right, no problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Kamau. I'm next, but I said I would let others go first, so let's have Beth next.
Thank you. Stephanie, you and I have spoken about this briefly already. I want to bring it up here in the meeting to get it on the public radar. Pacifica and all organizations who collect personally identifiable information, such as membership information, have a legal responsibility to maintain and protect that information. That's regardless of whether we have elections or not. And therefore, it seems important to me that the cost of maintaining that database be accounted for correctly, accurately, not as a cost of the election process, but rather under administration from the national office. And I realize these lines are somewhat blurred because
a big load of what the National Election Supervisor does is to clean those lists and try to rectify those lists because they reach her in a such disarray. And this has been a pattern going back as far as I'm familiar. and as we move further into the digital age and the law legislation has caught up with the both the risks and the potential in database management, Pacifica really does have a legal obligation to get its ducks in a row on this issue. And I recognize that the various units that manage membership information, that would be the five stations, do so in various ways. They have different systems, different software, different histories, different employees, and I would strongly encourage national management to do whatever's possible to harmonize these systems, to when possible, because it seems necessary, to centralize these systems, because speaking from my experience with my own station, it's clear that much of that work is just flat out not getting done. It's costing us a fair amount. It's not getting done. It gets, that can get kicked down the road to the NES and inflates the cost of elections unrealistically. That distorts the appearance of the cost of our democratic process when, as a matter of fact, the Pacifica has a legal obligation to maintain that database accurately and currently at all times and not just try to catch it up when we have to meet the obligations of an election. And so I recognize that some of what you've done in your tenure so far brings us closer to the possibility of greater accountability there, but anything we can do to encourage further clarity and better organization, and I would strongly support, and I'd like to offer you the opportunity to comment on that too, if you would. Thank you.
Well, dealing with a clean database has been a concern from day one. As I've said to multiple people, this is probably the first place I've ever worked where I haven't started my first day with receiving a portfolio of, you know, 1,000 or more constituents and donors that I've been given to manage that include complete dossiers on those people so I know their giving history and their connection with an organization. So I have not had access to the donor database since I've started, and that is because there is money that is owed to the company that is at least 5 years old, 5 years past due, and we are on the do not service list. I do have a close, business relationship, or at least talking back and forth with the donor database company, in knowing that, you know, they understand the importance of the database, as do I, and I am very eager and anxious to be able to get into the database and to be able to help clean it up. Not all of the stations, I will be able to get access to that once we pay them off. So that is the one expense that I'm hoping to, with the sale of the building, that we will be able to completely pay off what is owed and being able to get into the database and clean it and move it into a managing or at least oversight on the national level. The KPFT uses the database to its fullest, and they do a great job of it. On a personal level, I donate to each of the stations, and KPFT is the only station that sends me reminders when money is due. They send me, updates if a credit card has expired. They encourage me to, turn into a monthly pledge because they're using Allegiance. They get letters of anniversaries of when I gave. They know when my birth month is, so they're really using Allegiance to its fullest. And donors at that station, too, can log in and have their own Allegiance portal where they can see what they've donated. They can update their own information. They can log their volunteer hours. So they're really using it to its fullest. A lot of the stations do not have membership directors, so they don't have the ability to devote the time that is needed to manage a clean database. And then once you start getting behind in managing a database, it's very difficult to catch up. So I 100% want to be able to have support for the stations on a national level for the database so that we can run reports for each of the stations on a weekly basis or, you know, two times a month, whatever is necessary, and work with their team helping relieve some of that burden that they have trying to manage a database. Not everybody uses Allegiance, and I know that maybe the database is too big or too powerful for our needs, but we really won't know until we can get it cleaned up and get in there. And it's one of those things of that's what we have, that's what we've paid for, and we really need to kind of give it a chance. And if we find out that, you know, there might be certain portals that we need, certain, you know, things that we don't need, but we really don't know unless I can get in there. And I'm hoping, you know, that KPFT, which has been using it to its fullest and it's really working for them and it helps them significantly, is that I'll be able to work with their team and staff that focuses on the database to be able to help encourage a lot of the other stations to do the same. But, you know, it's tough, again, because there just isn't a lot of manpower that is devoted to managing that database. As far as cleaning it up prior to the election, even prior to when the election was postponed, we had reached out and I had asked the membership department to get their lists and cleaning up and send me lists of lapsed donors and, you know, any information that they have. And again, not everybody has a membership director. So I did get some lists from KPFK and I got some lists from WBAI. And they admitted, you know, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. There's information that needs to be cleaned. There's, you know, families that need to be put together in one record, but it's just not because they just don't have that manpower to clean it up. And it's gotten so far behind now, it's been difficult. Is that the responsibility of the National Election Supervisor? No. But the National Election Supervisor will, during each election, have to go in and make sure that the data is clean. So we are going to get a breakdown as to how many hours, roughly, the National Election Supervisor has spent cleaning up the data. I know this year was less than what has been done in the past, but we can get a better breakdown with that. But that is something that will still have to happen as we move forward with any election. They need to confirm that the data is correct.
Thank you, Stephanie. We're rapidly running out of time once again. There are two more speakers on the list, and we also would like to hear from WPFW about the status of their budget. I'm going to ask unanimous consent to extend until 11 p.m., and hopefully that will wrap it. Is there any objection? Hearing none, we'll go to 11. Kim, you're next.
I just want to comment that I had concerns about WBAI's listener support, that it was a little puffy, overestimated. So, but I couldn't get anybody else to share my concerns about that. So, you know, I'll look at KPFA when we get there. That's it.
Oh, thank you, Kim. I've just got a couple of quick rapid fire questions, Stephanie, and a suggestion also that you in looking at the KPFA budget, I want to just reemphasize what McFadden said about the assumption that they're going to be able to pay their central services, and in relation to that membership support number. So I just want to chime in on that. That would be a good thing to look at closely. I also wanted to suggest that I don't know if Beth made this clear in which her comments were, but if some of those election expenses that have been listed as election expenses for the election supervisor who was doing that administrative work of rationalizing our membership database, a lot of that expense could be shifted over to administration. Was that the thrust of what you got from Beth's comments, Stephanie?
Well, yeah, I mean, any sort of list cleaning is the responsibility of the stations. It's not the responsibility of the National Election Supervisor. But regardless of how much cleaning a list will be, you know, how much a clean list she receives or whoever the National Election Supervisor is, they're still going to have to spend some time reviewing the list and confirming the list with each individual station or where they receive the list. So
right, but my point, Stephanie, was that that could be listed as an administrative expense rather than a governance or elections expense, which is one of the criticisms we get from CPB and from others, that our governance costs are too high, and when actually that cost would be legitimately recognized as a valid administrative expense. So if we could, the more we could shift it over, even if it's the election supervisor doing the work, if we could shift it over to administrative expense, that would please some of our critics.
And be more accurate.
Yeah.
This is Kim, if I can have the stats, because I disagree with that.
I don't want to get into a huge debate at time, but if the National Election Supervisor is working on a list due to the elections, that's an election expense. That's not an admin expense. And the National Election Supervisor does not go into Allegiance to start cleaning up the list. She sees any sort of problems, goes back to the station and the membership directors, if there is one, and says, why is there a discrepancy? She does not put her hands into Allegiance. She doesn't have access to Allegiance, and she doesn't clean up physically the list. She will point out if there is a discrepancy, but what she does is for the elections, not for general membership. So personally, I wouldn't put it as an admin expense. It's an election that we're holding. It's an election expense.
I understand that, and I appreciate that answer. And then maybe I'll revise my comment to say that if we could crank up the administrative work we do on cleaning up the list and, you know, doing whatever we need to do to get the list in a better condition so that the election super has to do less of that, that would be helpful.
Point. This is Kim. This is Kim. May I be recognized?
Teresa for the
Kim, I was not done with my comments. I'm going to finish that. And I think we really are going to have to move on because we only have 2 minutes and we need to hear from PFW about what they're going to do. How they're coming along with their budget. So let me finish. We'll go to PFW.
Membership goes in development, period, not admin.
Pardon me?
That's the point.
Well, thank you. Thank you for respecting the stack, Kim. All right. Stephanie, what else? Lawsuits are public records. Have we got any new lawsuits that you can tell us about?
No. Not,
okay.
No.
Glad to hear it. And so that concludes my questions, and I'm going to ask Kamau, if you will. We'll go on to the next item. Could you give us a report, and or Julie, a report on where we are with the WPFW budget?
Sorry, I was on mute. I'm not able to give the committee an update.
Fair enough. Julie? I don't know if Julie is still with us.
Are you on mute?
Julie, are you on mute? Okay. Kamau, maybe you could make some inquiries, if possible, for the next meeting and see if you can get some information on that. We'd appreciate that.
James, if I can add something.
I will.
Okay, yes. Please, Stephanie, go ahead.
I have to let you know that Kamau is doing everything he possibly can to get information regarding the budget. He CCs me on all of his emails, and he is actively requesting information and meeting times. So he is doing everything that he possibly can in his power. I will probably reach out to Kamal later on tomorrow or tomorrow just to let him know that it might be a point that we just sit down and do the budget on our, you know, get a Zoom meeting and within the next couple of, you know, pump it out in a couple of hours just so we can get it done.
That's very good for all of us to hear, and I want to thank Kamal for being so modest as to not be able to say that.
Teresa for the stack.
Okay, Teresa, go ahead, but we are out of time. Go ahead.
Who is the general manager at WPFW now, or is someone being paid to be general manager?
Yes, we have a general manager at the station now, Jerry Paris.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, folks, we are at time, and I want to thank everybody, especially Stephanie, for waiting for us to get started, and for our Paul for doing the tedious job of being secretary, for Otis streaming us, and thanks to everyone for a decent meeting, and we are adjourned.
Good night.
Thank you all. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.